Anyway, let's open up to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Let's bow in prayer. And please have South Sudan in our minds as we pray. There are lots of people stuck up there. I think the news reports over 2,000 Ugandans are stuck there. And I think it was an American plane that had tried to rescue their staff there, and they were shot by the South Sudanese military. So they ran over to Entebbe. So it's a very, sterile situation there. And the friends and relatives we have there, I think, are out of touch, because they're just confined in some places, and we don't even know who is dead and who is alive. So just pray for God's peace over this season. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for Christmas. And Lord, at Christmas time, of course, we celebrate your coming, Lord. And we know you're the Prince of Peace. And Lord, there can never be peace in this world except your peace in our hearts. And pray, Jesus, Lord, particularly for the leaders in South Sudan and, Lord, the military there and the conflict, that, Jesus, you may shower them with your peace, Lord. I pray that you may take away all the power struggles and the selfishness and the greediness, Lord, and the hatred and the bitterness among the tribes there, Jesus. It's only you who can remove all that. Lord, it's you who can give them love for one another, Lord, respect, and it's you who can grant them peace, Jesus. And Lord, we just want to trust in you, Lord, for the safety of everybody who is stuck within the conflict, whether they are Sudanese or foreigners, Jesus. Pray that, Lord, you may protect them, that, Lord, you may preserve them, Jesus, that, Lord, you may just make a way possible for them to be safe. But even as they are stuck there, Jesus, Lord, you're the only Savior, Lord. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the coming of salvation. And wherever they are, Jesus, Lord, they can cry out to you for salvation. And that whether to die or to live, Lord, everything will be perfect. So, Lord, amidst the turmoil there, Jesus, we trust that even more can come to know you, Lord, and enjoy you this Christmas. Lord, I pray for the study of your word this morning as we learn from you, Jesus, that Lord, we may come to a fresh appreciation of who you are, Lord, your faithfulness, Lord, and your salvation. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Last week, we looked at Joseph and Mary and how in their life we see obedience to God and we see God's favor coming down to us. This week, we're going to look at Jesus himself, the center of Christmas, the person whose birth we celebrate. And two things we're going to see today is, one, God's faithfulness. At Christmas, we celebrate God's faithfulness. He made a promise, the promise is fulfilled. And we take a deeper look at the person of Jesus Christ, who he is and his ministry. Now, you definitely love Christmas, don't you? The decorations, the Christmas carols playing all over us, the journeys people are taking, the holiday plans, and everything around Christmas. It's the biggest holiday around the world. And Christmas did not just start with the coming of Jesus Christ. Christmas started with a promise that God made. And at Christmas time, God fulfills his promise. Right from Genesis, and the Bible records over 300 prophecies, predictions of the coming of Jesus Christ and his ministry, and his death and his resurrection and so on, his entire life. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 to 23, Matthew records that all this was done that it might be fulfilled. God had promised that Jesus would come and be born. And in the book of Luke, the first seven verses, we see this promise come to pass. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone, to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, events around the birth of Christ are alone so amazing. When this Caesar Augustus decreed that everybody should go home and be registered a census, little did he know that he was actually participating in sending Joseph and Mary to the place where Jesus would be born. Can you imagine? The first census ever, while Quirinius, the Bible records in history, was governing Syria. Now remember that Joseph and Mary weren't told the birthplace of Jesus Christ. They were just informed about the baby. They were going to father and mother. And there they pack up, they leave, and they go to Nazareth, particularly to Bethlehem. And they were supposed to be registered around the time Jesus is born. And in Matthew again, chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, so all this was fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, that is Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So God made a promise, and the promise is fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. And Christmas is a time of celebrating God's faithfulness. Now, how many of us can testify that God is faithful, that he makes a promise and fulfills it? All of us can. And the promises that God has given you particularly, and you've seen them come to pass, and you've had more promises from God probably, and you will surely see them come to pass. Whatever the promise is, God fulfills it. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, he himself said, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for thousands of generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. God said of himself to be faithful, that when he makes a promise, he delivers, he fulfills it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul would write, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So amidst all the decorations, all the food that we are planning to eat, all the journeys we take, all the reunions and parties, all the carols, be reminded that God is faithful. You know, sometimes we get tired of waiting for God's promise to come to pass. We ask God, when is this going to come? When is this going to end? When will peace reign on earth and all? Some individual promises that you're still waiting for. Be reminded this Christmas that God is faithful. It took hundreds and thousands of years for Jesus to come, and God still proved himself faithful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God, you may know this verse, all the promises of God are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. When God says we'll do something, it's yes. He will do it. He will perform it. So in fact, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, at the end of the verse, the Bible says that the zeal of the Lord will perform this. And he made the promise to the Israelites back in Isaiah's day. He said, God is zealous enough to perform, to fulfill his promise. So let's be reminded that God is faithful. And if his promise, whatever it is, hasn't come to pass, that we would continue waiting on him. In fact, the major promise that he made was that he's going to come soon. 2,000 years and over, the promise still stands. He is coming, and is coming soon. Secondly, let's look at the person of Jesus Christ himself, the one whose birth we celebrate. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the promise was made, behold, the virgin would be with child and bear a son, and his name is Emmanuel, the Bible records, which means God is with us. And that title, of course, refers to him both as God and secondly, as a man. God with us. Now that is something that we struggle to comprehend in our small heads. That he would still be God 100% and man 100%. Now truth is that it would definitely have to be God to save us. And for us to identify with him, he had to be a man. He had to be just like any one of us, that we would identify with him and he identify with us. It shows how low God bent to save us, his children. He accepted to be weak, to be frail, just like any human. He stripped himself of all his majesty. Everything laid down as a king, to be born as a baby in poverty, growing up as a carpenter, experiencing hunger and exhaustion and extreme emotional stress, just like each one of us does. That's our God. And so if he came to be with us, what should we do? Let's stay with him. If you receive visitors this Christmas, what do? You stay with them. If Jesus, as a man, as God, came to be with us, then we have the privilege to be with him. And we have all, if you haven't denied him this far, we have all known him and we stay with him every day. Without question or hesitation, he is a gift for us to receive. And if you haven't received him, you can receive him this Christmas. If you don't receive any other gift this Christmas, Jesus is available for us to enjoy. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So we've seen him as God coming down to be with us, so we can be with him. We see him as Jesus, who will save his people. So we have Emmanuel, God with us. We have Jesus, which is actually in Greek. In Jewish, it's Yeshua. It's Joshua. Now, there were so many Yeshuas in his day, and even today, anybody called Joshua here? Probably there are some. But there's only one Yeshua, one Joshua, one Jesus from Nazareth. In fact, they would always refer to him as Jesus of Nazareth, the little known town where people thought nothing good would come from. Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua means the salvation of God, or God is salvation. Jesus had a mission, and his mission was to save his people from sin, to save us from sin. That's why we are called saved. Saved from the curse of sin. Salvation is here. He's here with us. He is a savior. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, for there is born today, as the angels announced to the shepherds, the birth of Jesus. He said, for there is born to you, to the shepherds, to sinners, this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He said that if our greatest need was information, God would have sent us an educator. If it was technology, God would have sent us, you know, a scientist, an inventor. If our greatest need had been money, God would have given us money or an economist. Money is not a solution. If our greatest need was pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer, a rock band. But our greatest need was salvation from sin. So God sent us a savior. He came to set us free from the curse of sin. He came to free us from the chains of evil. He came to bring us back to life, those who were dead in their sins. He came to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness as God's perfect Lamb. We are all testimonies of his salvation, aren't we? And if you're not, today may be your first day to experience his forgiveness, his cleansing. But today comes your Savior. And he still saves people today. Remember, Emmanuel, God with us. He's still here. He's right here with us, still saves. In the words of that song Joy to the World is a verse that goes like this. No more let sins and sorrows grow. No thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. For us the curse is found. Wherever the curse of sin is found, he came to make his blessing flow, to remove the curse and replace it with his blessing of eternal life. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born. Now it's interesting how Isaiah speaks like Jesus was born in that. Of course, there was a near fulfillment which we got. We won't go deep into right now. But Isaiah spoke like it was happening in his day. For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Anybody has those names in this room? Only Jesus has all those names and titles for who he was and who he is. We are informed that the government shall be on his shoulder. Now, when we talk about government, it is related to politics. And it's true that God is our governor. Jesus is a governor. He is on the throne of heaven and governs this earth. And we may not see his governance in everybody's heart and in every government, but he governs everything that happens on this planet and over his creation. He is a governor. And not only is he enthroned in heaven, he governs in our hearts. And if he's not yet your governor, please, I plead with you that you receive him as your governor today. The Messiah is wonderful. He is full of wonder. In Revelation, there are two groups of people who keep worshiping all day, all night, the 24 elders and the four living creatures. And they never cease to be amazed by God. As if they go down and they're like, you know, guys, this is the last time we're going down. We have to get up and go. Each time they get back up, they're like, holy and holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And there they go. They go back down and they're like, guys, this is the last time. You know, we have to move on with life. They get up and they're like, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. They were never out of amazement when they saw the glory of God. Jesus is full of wonder. I mean, look at what he does. Look at the people around you. Look at the complexity of the human being. However long you live, you cannot study and complete the complexity of the human body. I mean, medics can only study parts of the body. There are those who only study the brain. There are those who only study the eye. I mean, look at the eye itself. I'm told it's the ego that never closes its eyes, but it's able to rest. Now look at how powerful that tiny eyeball that no camera can match. I mean, there's no camera that can be that small and that powerful. Just something so small, even our own eyes. We can get explanations on how we can see, but it's still amazing that we can still see. Some just study the ears, the nose, the throat, ENT. Some study the heart, only the heart. Some study just the hair. Any hairdressers around? Some just study the digestive system. Some just study the nervous system, all our nerves. Some spend all their life just studying how they can remove our teeth without pain. Can you imagine? With all human wisdom, we can just study just a little bit of the human body. How about God who made it? If we keep looking at God, we never cease to see how wonderful he is. We never get bored. He does something wonderful every day. Look at all the other aspects of creation. The earth is just a third of this planet. Two-thirds is water, but you're not sinking. Can you imagine? If you want to try, get two-thirds, get a cup of water and just put a third of anything in it, it will sink. We are floating. You see the map of the world, Australia is way down under. Nobody's falling off from Australia. They would be literally upside down, but they're still upright just like us. That is amazing. God made gravity. He is wonderful. He's always wonderful, always amazing. The Messiah is counselor. He gives advice, and his advice is the best. He guides, he directs, gives us the best direction ever. In the middle of a confused world, in the middle of so many decisions you have to make every day, we need to be counseled. We need to be advised. And we have it right here, God's word. He is a counselor. We can always run to Jesus for advice. He came to be with us. He often speaks to us through other people around us, our fellow Christians, as we surround ourselves in fellowship. The Messiah is mighty God. None can match his might and power. And we see this in creation again. Scientifically, the earth is made up of, you guys can figure this out, I only know plain physics, negatively charged and positively charged ions. And that's how you make a bomb, right? You put negatively charged, positively charged, compress it together, you have one outlet, and then it explodes. Scientists are still wondering why the earth is not exploding. It's just like a bomb. All the components that make up the world is like a bomb. But we know that God holds it together, and one day he's going to let it go. Everything's going to explode, and it's going to make a new one together. We'll be in another place altogether. That is his might. I mean, we can't even calculate the might and power that it takes to hold this earth together, to hold every human being together on the planet. Gravity. We can know the amount of force it takes, but for everyone and everything, it's a display of God's power. Look at the clouds suspended in the air. Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. Where do they hide? God asked Job. The snow. Where is the snow, you know, for the rest of the year until it falls? Up somewhere hiding. God would ask Job, do you know where the storehouses of snow are? There's a dangerous fun spot called water rafting. So one time I asked a friend why she would have to go water rafting. And I was like, that is putting God to test. That's dangerous. She's like, no, that's not putting God to test. That's testing God's might. You see how we can easily toss you just by a water wave. We can easily toss you around. So powerful. So mighty. Everlasting Father. Talking about his eternity. The idea is that he is the source of life. For all eternity, is everlasting. Now we have a problem understanding time and how that God lives outside the scope of time. You try to think about everlasting life from way back before creation and way ahead after this earth, and you can't fix it in your head. You can't have a complete timeline. And God lives outside a scope of time, and that is also scientifically proven. This is how. They say if you travel at the speed of light, that is millions of miles a second. If we can be able to travel at the speed of light, we would live outside time. We would conquer time. So if you got into your car and pressed the pedal and you go to millions of miles just in 1 second, you will go around the earth as many times as you want and go to all the planets and visit them and be back, and you will not have lost a second. What does the Bible say? God is light. He can travel at the speed of light. If you can calculate his light, he lives outside time. He is everlasting. The Messiah is the Prince of Peace. There is so much conflict around us and even within us. In the Bible, in the book of James, the Bible teaches that there is so much hope just because of the conflict already in our hearts. We get at conflict with each other. Initially, we had conflict with God. We fought against God. We just insulted him. We disobeyed him. And Jesus comes to bridge that gap. He comes to make peace. No more should humanity live in conflict. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And we pray that this Christmas, many would experience this peace around the world. That amidst all the turmoil, the wars, the conflicts, that they would experience the peace of Jesus Christ. And even within ourselves, much as there may be so much conflict in our hearts, that God would pour down His peace in our hearts this Christmas. He is the Prince of Peace. At Christmas time, we celebrate the coming of salvation. We come to celebrate as we sing carols, as we decorate, as we travel, as we eat and drink. Salvation came. The Prince of Peace came. The mighty God came. The wonderful God came. The governor of all the universe came down. He rules and reigns in our hearts. We also celebrate God's faithfulness. That God made a promise and it came to pass. So church, be reminded this Christmas that God is faithful. We have a long journey ahead of us. We have so much work ahead, but we rely on God's promises. He promised to be with us. He promised to strengthen us. He promised to grant us provision. We promise just about everything that pertains to life. And He will fulfill. He will. And at the end of next year, we'll gather again to celebrate His faithfulness. He's faithful. Secondly, we celebrate God's salvation. The Savior came. Emmanuel came, God with us, came to be with us, and is here to stay until He'll take us to a better place. He came to forgive. He still forgives. He still cleanses. He still saves that which was lost. He still brings the dead to life. He rules. He reigns. He counsels. He shows His wonders. He reigns in peace. Let's pray. Thank You, Jesus, for Christmas, Lord, that at Christmas time we see Your faithfulness, Lord, and the promise of a Savior, of Emmanuel, God coming to be with us, of forgiveness of sin, of cleansing of all unrighteousness, Lord, just came. Lord, one who would reconcile us to Yourself, God, came. That one who would remove all the conflict in our hearts and give us peace, the Prince of Peace came. Lord, we are looking forward to see more of Your faithfulness, Lord, as we see the journey ahead of us, Lord, as Your church, as Your children still here, before we go home, Lord, or before You return. Lord, for those promises that You've made and we have not experienced, Lord, we wait on You. You will deliver. You will show up, Lord. And for those who do not know You yet, even in this room, Lord, they can come to You right now for salvation, Lord. And I pray that they may make that commitment today. That if there's anyone in this room who does not know You yet, Lord, as God with us, as Savior, that they would come to that knowledge this day and start a new life and enjoy Your faithfulness, Lord. Jesus, You're wonderful. Lord, You rule. May You rule in our hearts, Lord. May You rule in our leaders. May You rule in everyone. Lord, show us more of Your wonders, Lord. There is so much displayed around us to see, and we're always amazed. And we're looking forward to more. But as You bring more people to the faith, Lord, as You bring more to life, as You provide, as You guide, as You save, as You preserve, we're yet to see more miracles, Lord. Lord, You're mighty. Lord, You are the Prince of Peace. Lord, reign in our hearts. Lord, shower us with Your peace, the peace that the world cannot understand. That through pain, through confusion, through storms around us and within us, Lord, Your peace would surpass all that. And that would rest in Your peace. And we want to pray for those who are still at conflict with You, Lord. May they know that You made peace. You made provision for peace. Lord, You made provision for reconciliation to God, and that they may walk that path of peace. So, Lord, thank You so much for Your faithfulness, and thank You for Your salvation. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.